As many of you know, I spent last week up on the south shore of Lake Tahoe, Camp Richardson, with our congregation's annual retreat, which we call MPC at Tahoe. It was an eventful week. I got to spend 4 of the 5 days with the children and youth up there, which meant that I got to dust off a set of skills that I developed as a forest-dwelling camp counselor years ago. And I confess that I enjoyed reacquainting myself with those skills and reacquainting myself with the part of the life of the church that is children and youth ministry. And I really loved getting to know the children and youth of our congregation a little bit better. Now, I'd like to say that this last week at Tahoe will be immortalized in the memory of those of us lucky enough to have been there precisely because I was leading the children and youth program. But alas, this year will forever and always be remembered not as the year that Ben Daniel led the children's program. This year will forever and always be immortalized and remembered as the year of the bear. Now, for those of you who weren't there, let me explain. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the forest. I grew up thinking I was close to nature. And I grew up thinking, because I'd been taught and I learned, to believe 2 things about bears. First, I learned that the black bears in the Sierra Nevada pose little threat to humans. While a mother bear might get a little aggressive if you stand between her and her cubs, I learned that bears don't eat people. They don't attack people. The other thing I learned and I believed about bears is that bears are afraid of humans and won't come near a gathering of people, especially if those people are laughing and talking loudly and, I don't know, playing volleyball or something. It turns out that only one of the things I learned is true. And luckily, it's the first thing. See, on Wednesday in the afternoon, we were observing the ancient MPC at Tahoe tradition of a beach barbecue, sitting in a circle of picnic tables, eating great food, when out of nowhere, a bear came running up the beach. And noticing our gathering and the food inherent to it, made an abrupt left-hand turn and ran right into the middle of our circle of picnic benches. And once there, it headed straight for a piece of pie, peach pie, that somebody had left on the plate before going off to play in the nearby volleyball game. Then just as suddenly, a brave and intrepid employee of Camp Richardson appeared. He shooed the bear as the courageous and resourceful Kristen Dwelly banged plates together in an attempt to scare off our uninvited guest. And it worked. But before the bear left our picnic area, I had this deeply personal encounter with the bear. And I know it's shamefully anthropomorphic to say this, but the bear looked right at me with a gleam in his eyes that I swear was the look of a devious and disobedient 8-year-old. It's a look that I learned when I was a camp counselor. And with that look in his eyes and with a single swipe of that ursine tongue, he gobbled up that piece of peach pie and he leaped over the picnic tables and he ran straight into the middle of the volleyball game, scattering members and children and friends of Montclair Presbyterian Church like the waves of the Red Sea parting under the staff of Moses the prophet. The bear wrangling resort employee chased the bear into the next door property, which belongs to the National Park Service. I'm sure in that place the bear went on to torment other unsuspecting, ignorant tourists. And in that moment, I experienced a new kind of profound gratitude. You see, all 3 of my children And the children of several other folks were playing in that volleyball game. And no one got hurt. All we lost was a piece of peach pie. And that seems like a small price to pay. That kind of gratitude is hard to ignore and even harder to forget. The other big thing, the big insight, big experience I had was the humility inherent to realizing how much I didn't know about bears. Either I was wrong to believe that bears won't approach a group of people who are being conspicuously human, or the nature of bears has changed. Either way, in that encounter with the bear, I realized I have a lot to learn about bears and a lot of other things as well. And I'm sure that my lack of knowledge, I'm sure it's not just limited to bears, their behavior or their misbehavior. So anyway, on Friday morning, the last day of our stay at Camp Richardson, I walked down to the lake, past where we had our encounter with the bear, and out onto the resort's pier, which juts out maybe 30 yards into the lake, where the view is spectacular and the vibe is peaceful. And if you're alone on the pier, as I was, it's a good place for contemplation and prayer. As I looked around me prayerfully and thoughtfully, I saw the snow-capped mountains and the deep blue water of the lake and the impressive stands of Jeffrey's pines and red fir that danced down to the water's edge. But I saw something else as well. In that moment, about 8:45 in the morning on Friday, on the south shore of Lake Tahoe, there was an impressive confluence of spiritualities. I wasn't the only person on the lake. And our group wasn't the only organization using Camp Richardson for a retreat. Up the beachway, a group of martial arts students retreating alongside us was doing morning exercises. And a little bit closer to me, a small group of enviably limber people were doing yoga. And a member of our group was walking a labyrinth that Talitha laid out on the beach in pine cones. Closer to me, out on the water, a man was leading a Bible study on a speedboat named Forgiven. And down by the shore, a man and a woman, apparently in the craziness of new love, stripped off all their clothing and jumped naked into the lake. Now, I confess, that vortex of randomly diverse spiritual expression made me happy. But I'm also aware that each of these spiritual expressions, martial arts, yoga, the new age spirituality of labyrinth walking, the exuberant self-forgetting impulsiveness that leads to skinny dipping, and even the piety that might inspire evangelical Christians to gather on a speedboat for a lesson in scripture. All of these expressions are things that I have heard condemned in churches. In my younger and more conservative days, I heard it said that martial arts and yoga and New Age spirituality were underhanded ways in which pagans were trying to take over an otherwise Christian America. And the idea that someone should be so moved by love and lust that they might jump stark naked into the lake, that such behavior would be condemned by most Christians is sort of self-evident. Though as far as I can see, such a condemnation is a waste of time. The very act of jumping into that icy water is punishment sufficient unto itself for any offense caused by the sin of public nudity. And even evangelicals studying the Bible on a speedboat, it's the kind of thing you might think would be universally accepted and even celebrated in churches. But let's be honest, dearly beloved. Whereas the other kinds of spirituality I saw expressed there on the lake might be seen as suspect in more traditionally minded churches, evangelical Bible study on a boat called Forgiven, that's the kind of thing that might be considered suspect here at Montclair Presbyterian Church. It turns out Christians of every stripe, including our stripe, have a tendency to judge as suspicious and to exclude those spiritual practices and practitioners who seem odd to us. And I am of the opinion that such suspicion and exclusion, however common, is not what we are called to do and to be. I am mindful of the words of St. Paul from this morning's lesson from Galatians. In Christ there is neither Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. Now this passage is ancient. It is from one of Paul's earliest writings, which means it is one of the earliest things that was ever written in our New Testament. One of the first things written in the New Testament. And it's always seemed like an essentially Christian writing to me, or at least it's what I want Christianity to be about. I want Christianity to be a religion that doesn't see, or at least it looks past things like social status and religious background and gender identity and ethnicity. This is a passage that I memorized and I thought about quite a bit back in the days when I self-identified as the kind of Christian who was suspicious of people who did martial arts and yoga and labyrinths and skinny dipping. What I didn't know back then, and it kind of amuses me to think of my former self being told this, but what I didn't know back then is that Paul's words in Galatians, these words of inclusivity, these are an early Christian rearticulation of Stoic philosophy. Which is to say that the idea of humans being equal in the eyes of God, that idea originally was a pagan idea. It turns out that a lot of Christian ideas originally were pagan ideas. And I haven't actually counted them up. Maybe I should someday. But it might even be that most of the ideas found in the New Testament originally were pagan ideas. Which makes it almost comical that so many of our co-religionists would be afraid to embrace things like martial arts and yoga and New Age spirituality. In fact, if we're going to be faithful to the spirit of today's passage from Galatians, we should be asking what we can learn from the Eastern spiritualities present in martial arts and yoga. And of course, labyrinths only seem New Agey because they've been embraced by New Age types. But the use of labyrinth for prayer and contemplation, this is an ancient Christian practice. It's a practice we borrowed from pre-Christian paganism. And as for jumping naked into the lake, I can't recommend it exactly, but I do think that we can learn from and be informed by the kind of exuberant spontaneity that drives such behavior. Just as I think we can learn from and be inspired by the sort of piety that encourages people to go out on a speedboat to study Holy Writ. You see, Christianity began as a hybrid of Judaism and Greco-Roman paganism. Inclusion and the embrace of seemingly incompatible ideas, that's how we got our start. Somewhere along the way, Christians, sometimes even Christians like the Christians who worship at MPC, somewhere along the way we kind of forgot to look for inspiration from beyond what we normally consider to be the limits of our faith. But the words of this morning's message from Galatians remind us that there is an essential equality of people when we are in touch with God. And the origin of this passage's central idea reminds us that good ideas can and should come from every corner of human experience. And if we think otherwise, then we are ignorant of people in the same way I'm ignorant of bears. Now, because this is Pride Month, I want to end my sermon by celebrating a way in which our congregation, and a lot of congregations like ours, have done a good job of looking beyond the traditional limits of the Christian church, thereby being wonderfully faithful to the spirit of the lesson from this morning's passage from Galatians. See, for centuries, gay men and lesbians were simply not welcomed in the Christian community, at least not in a way that encouraged an honest and healthy expression of sexuality that was anything less than straight. And as for trans folk and non-binary orientation or gender expression, forget about it. Such things were entirely and intentionally unknown. But just as I met a bear and acknowledged my ignorance, just as I walked out onto a pier and saw the breadth of human spirituality, so it was that Christians started acknowledging how much the church needs to learn and started noticing how many ways there are to be Christian. For a lot of people, that exploration meant looking inward. It meant self-exploration and self-acceptance. And for a lot of people, that meant developing empathy and an ability to listen and an ability to learn. Now, Montclair Presbyterian Church has been on the cutting edge of Christianity's learning curve when it comes to recognizing the deep spiritual gifts of the children of God who identify as not necessarily straight, not necessarily cisgender, and not necessarily binary. And now, thanks to people like you, the LGBTQ community is not just being welcomed into Christian congregations as guests, but the LGBTQ Christians are welcoming straight folks into the fold. And it is a blessing. It is a reason to rejoice. And I am proud to be part of a congregation that has been willing to grow and learn and to integrate the rainbow of diversity into itself. Thank you, Montclair Presbyterian Church. Thank you for being such a congregation. And you know, this is personal for me. I know that many churches would not welcome everyone who sits down with me at my extended family's Thanksgiving dinner. And maybe your family's the same way. Not every church would welcome all of us who sit down at that extended family's Thanksgiving dinner. We wouldn't all be welcome because some of us are gay, some of us are Jewish, some of us self-identify as agnostic or atheist, some of us are Mormons. It would be hard to find a church where my whole family could be welcomed. But you are such a congregation. You know how to be proud of all God's children. And I am proud to be your pastor. Thanks be to God.